Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. This is Jason and Adam with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. A big thank you to Doug and the team from the Rainbow Report. Another fantastic show, and it's really exciting to have them back before Well, Well, Well.
I know. I was very interested in that discussion that they were having, and many of the discussions they were having, so it's obviously very different to the Let's Talk Footy Boys, who sad to see go, but, you know.
I'm sure they'll be back, hopefully.
Next season?
Yes.
Yes.
hopefully you'll be a little bit happier with the outcome next season as well.
Oh, well, look, if you can make top 8, I think you'd kind of be happy.
I think if I made top 12, I'd be happy.
That's true.
Adam, what are we going to be talking about this week on the show?
Tonight we'll be chatting with Simon Powell from the Centre Clinic and Chris Barker from the Counselling Services at the Victorian AIDS Council /Gay Men's Health Centre about the importance of GLBTI-friendly health services, and obviously just doing the usual stuff, so covering some HIV news and health news and a few snippets and other news later on. So it's just news, news, news.
Not all news. I'm sure we also want to hear all of what the listener likes wants to say.
We do. We do indeed. And there are many ways that the listener can get in contact. What are they, Jason?
Well, they can speak to the lovely Gordon by ringing 1300-JOY-949. Mm-hmm. Or they can speak to us directly in studio by emailing onair@joy.org.au or sending an SMS to 0427-JOY-949. But of course, in between the all of our shows, you can stay in touch with us via Facebook. And if you go to joy.org.au, you can find out how to find us on social media.
Mm-hmm. You can indeed.
You can indeed. Kicking off the show for us this week is a little bit of Scissor Sisters with Only the Horses. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was the Scissor Sisters.
That was who? That was
Only
who?
The Horses. The Scissor Sisters.
The Scissor Sisters.
The Scissor Sisters.
Oh, right, yeah.
You follow?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I just thought I'd play a bit more. I think I played some, was it last week or the week before? Well, I went to see them last week in
You concert. Did, as part of your month-long birthday celebrations.
The epic festival of Jason, yeah.
Well, that's what happens when you turn 40. I mean, you've really got to embrace life, you know.
Yeah, you would know.
Well, I know. I'll find out in, 9 years. Anywho, this is the time of the show where we like to change tracks.
Switch gears, if you will.
Change tracks, if you like. And speak about some news. So let's
exactly. The listener
papers.
Loves to hear this. But this week's first news brief is a story that was reported in The Age about the Australian Medical Association calling for a trial of a supervised injecting facility in Victoria to prevent overdoses and help control the spread of bloodborne diseases, including hepatitis C.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is something that's not necessarily new in Australia, as there has been a facility that's been successfully operated in Sydney for more than 10 years. But AMA Victorian President Stephen Parnas said it was time that the Victorian government considered a trial.
Mm-hmm.
So there's quite a bit of evidence, both here in Australia and overseas, to support the use of supervised injecting sites.
Yes.
To reduce harm for people who inject drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't really sound like the Baillieu government has any plans.
No, and I think that even the opposition and the Greens said that obviously the Australian Medical Association is saying that this is something that we should really be looking at, and this is something that the government should be investing in. So the opposition and the Greens have sort of said, well, look, it is actually time to consider this seriously and consider this proposal and the benefit and potential impact it can actually have. I mean, I think in Victoria alone, in 2009-2010, there were 2,033 heroin-related ambulance attendances, which is a staggering amount. Mm-hmm. And obviously, heroin isn't the only drug that can be injected, so therefore, there's obviously going to be more...
That's just a fraction of what of the impact that that injecting has on the health system.
Well, exactly. And I mean, that's only one indication of where ambulance is... had to be called out. So you think about the amount of people that are potentially injecting and the potential benefit that in safe injecting rooms can have. And obviously the one in Sydney has been running so effectively mm-hmm. that I guess the main issue is where would the injecting room be put?
That's a big question. And even Dr. Parnas of the AMA Victoria didn't nominate a location for the trial, but said that the facilities could work in areas of Melbourne that have a well-defined injecting drug use.
Drug hotspots.
Exactly, drugs hotspot. I don't like that term. But
anyway. No, because I mean, I don't really know what a drug hotspot is.
Yeah, I guess, you know, one indicator as they identified in the article was, you know, how many heroin-related ambulance attendances were there in and what they noticed was that they were particularly high in the city of Yarra. Where councillors last year voted to introduce a trial, but then were thwarted by the government when it refused to change legislation for it to go ahead. Mm. So, you know, it's the Yarra Drug and Health Forum Executive Officer Greg Denham welcomed the AMA statement, and he said about 100 Victorians could continue to die each year from drug overdoses.
Which is staggering.
It is. And as he's quoted in saying, we need people to say, okay, we've got a problem. It's not going away. So let's do something.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's just very surprising to see that Sydney's been doing this for over 10 years. Like, it's not like this is a new project where they really don't know the evidence or the efficacy behind it. And to think that Victoria isn't really willing to invest in a project such as this with the known benefits it can have, I really just don't.
Well, it's dumbfounding, really, because the evidence is there to support mm-hmm. it, but we know the particular views in the community around injecting drug use. You know, I know from my experience in Canada, Vancouver's had one open for a while, mm-hmm. and there's quite a bit of really positive evidence that's come out about its how effective it's been.
Yep.
And still, nonetheless, a conservative government has tried time and time again through the court system to shut it down.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Ted Baillieu's always sort of said, his statement's always kind of been the same thing. Like, we haven't supported injecting rooms, we won't support injecting rooms, and I don't support the normalisation of any of this sort of behaviour. Now, regardless of whether you're supporting this behaviour, the behaviour actually exists. Mm-hmm. It's already normalised. So an injecting room is just another harm minimisation strategy that can potentially be used to reduce HIV and specifically hep C infection through injecting drug use. So regardless of whether you
regardless of whether or not you provide a safe space to happen,
yes,
for it to happen, it's still going to happen.
It's still going to happen. So why not actually really put a harm minimisation perspective on and do something beneficial? So get on board, Mr. Baillieu.
Well said. But if you want to read more about that article, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. And joining us in the studio this evening is Simon Powell from the Centre Clinic in St Kilda. Good evening, Simon, and welcome to Well Well Well. I believe this is your first time on the show.
Thank you very much. Good evening. I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Hey, always happy to have you here. Now, as it is your first time, can you maybe tell us a little bit about yourself and your role within the Centre Clinic?
Well, I celebrated my 40th birthday 8 years ago, and so I can reliably inform you that it is a wonderful experience, and you'll both enjoy it when it happens.
Well, Adam will let me know because it'll happen to him first.
9 months earlier. Get out of yourself.
But anyhow, sorry to interrupt, Simon.
I always want to know what people are interested in when they ask me that question. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I'll tell you that I was born in England and 48 years ago. And I shared a womb with someone else.
Oh,
my brother.
Twin.
Yeah, who's still over in England. And but I do hold English and Australian citizenship. I am a son, a brother, a twin brother, a nurse, a counsellor, a lover, a manager, a dog owner. Hello, Redmond.
And you're listening.
A companion to Martin. Hello, Martin.
Oh, okay. Hopefully you've got an audience. I'm sure you do.
And so I guess in terms of your role within the Centre Clinic, are you a practitioner, a GP, or the manager? Or
yeah, I have two roles at the clinic. I used to have one. Now I have two. Originally, I was the practice nurse, and I was on secondment there from Melbourne Sexual Health Centre to, in some way, address the syphilis epidemic that was being experienced in this town at the time, and that was about 4 years ago. And when that secondment came to an end, I was taken on part-time as a practice nurse, and recently I've become the practice manager. So I basically, do I run the show? I feel like I do sometimes. But that might not be the case.
Who runs the world? Simon. Now, can you maybe explain a little bit for the listener what the role of a practice nurse is in the environment of, I guess, a general practice?
I think it's a collaborative role. It has to be. So in a lot of general practices, and the Centre Clinic is a general practice, but it does have a specialist area of interest, HIV and sexual health. And the role of the practice nurse has traditionally been to support the GPs and pretty much do the is there another word for donkey work?
The legwork.
To do the legwork. That works. To do the legwork so that so it's really doing health assessments, taking bloods, doing sexual health screening, and you know, I see patients independently from the doctors, and the doctors often refer patients to me as well. So there are various mechanisms by which patients get to me.
Okay.
But it's a very autonomous role, so that's a huge attraction to someone like me.
Now, many of our listeners might not be aware of what the Centre Clinic is. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, that you mentioned it's a general practice, but it's got a particular area of specialty.
Yeah.
Who runs the clinic? What services does it provide and for whom?
The Centre Clinic is the medical clinic administered and funded by the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And it's about 25 years old. And it was initially created as a clinic specifically for gay men, as a sort of safe space for gay men at the as a response to the HIV epidemic, you know, back in the mid-80s. And but now it's actually broadened its remit to appeal to the entire GLBTI community. So it sees itself as a general practice with a specific interest in HIV and sexual health. So in that regard, you know, we look after everybody from our community, but we also look after about 450 HIV-positive patients. And we provide monitoring, treatment, and care for all those patients.
Okay. And obviously, it's a high caseload clinic. I think that's the term that I get heard bandied around quite a bit, because you said there's obviously quite a high proportion of HIV-positive people who are accessing the services there.
That's right.
But, I mean, what makes this the Centre Clinic different to other gay-friendly general practices or high caseload practices? So what sets the Centre Clinic apart?
I think there are two main differences. One is that it's a dedicated GLBTI clinic, unlike many of the other high caseload clinics, which are more general practices. So you're more likely to encounter children and, you know, a vast array of society in those clinics, whereas in our clinic, it specifically targets our community, our community's healthcare needs, and also it's bulk billing, so there is no cost to the patients that use the service.
Love that. I don't get bulk billed at mine.
No, a lot of people hope to be bulk billed, but and occasionally you might be if your GP's fond of you.
Guess mine is.
Yeah, I know. And Jason and I go to the same place, and he gets bulk billed, and I've been going there for years. I don't understand.
That might warrant a conversation with your GP.
Oh, it certainly is. Next time I'm in there, I swear to God, I'm having a conversation.
Yeah, that kind of conversation is probably not going to get the outcome you want. But anyhow.
Anywho, yes.
We might take a little break to listen to some music. Dragonette has released a new album. Anyone who knows the music that I like to play on the show knows I love a bit of Dragonette.
Oh, God.
And this is My Work Is Done. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Dragonette with My Work Is Done. Now, if you've just joined us, we are chatting to Simon Powell from the Centre Clinic in St Kilda.
Yes, and Simon, before the break, you mentioned that the Centre Clinic offers GLBTI-friendly GPs for healthcare. Mm. So what does that mean for ongoing visits to a doctor? So, like, that's okay. That question really wasn't a very good question. Basically,
I think I understand what you're getting at.
Yes, well,
I think it has all sorts of implications for the relationship between the patient and the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the clinic. I see the clinic as a safe space where people can be themselves, where they can talk freely with their GP or with me. Without feeling self-conscious or that they're being judged.
Yep.
Or that they need to censor themselves. So many of us feel like we need to do when we're out there in the big wide world. So I think that there are opportunities for people to develop a unique relationship with a GP at their centre clinic. And particularly because the GPs there have a particular sensitivity to the issues that we face, you know, the physical, emotional and mental health issues that we face as a community.
Well, exactly. And the trusting relationship between a doctor and a patient can only come from, I guess, being open and honest and having that communication and dialogue and that respect as well. So it's being able to ask questions that need to be asked, but in a very sensitive and, I guess, appropriate fashion.
Trust is the basis of that relationship, and everything comes from that, I think.
But it's not only asking the questions, but kind of setting up an environment in which people feel comfortable to be able to answer.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And to be able to disclose things without even being prompted, like, why are you here today? You know, you could spend 10 or 5 to 10 minutes trying to actually get the answer out, but if you've got a very good communication relationship and with a lot of trust with your doctor, you're able to say, I need to get tested because of X, Y, and Z, or this is what's going on. I need to speak to you about X, Y, and Z. So I think it's fantastic.
And those conversations take place every day.
Yep.
And I might mention while we're here that the Centre Clinic is in the unusual position of being open to... Bless you.
Pardon me.
You were supposed to do that off radio.
I did, as best as I could.
Open to accepting new clients, new patients.
Oh, fantastic.
So our books are open for the first time in a very long time.
Yep.
So all anybody has to do is to access this service is to Google the Centre Clinic, and all the details are there.
And so not necessarily only if you're looking, if it's time for you to get a sexual health check, but if you've got any particular health issues, I guess.
That's right. There's no particular reason that you need to access our service.
I'd imagine a large speciality area of the Centre Clinic is around sexual health. So how do you feel a GLBTI-friendly health service can improve the experience of STI testing for people in our community?
Well, I think it's, once again, to labour the point, it's based on the trust of and the relationship between the GP and the patient. And, you know, if that exists, then that leads to conversations about sexual behaviour. And a lot of our patients are loyal, regular patients who understand the importance of regular testing for sexually transmitted infections. And often just doing that on a regular basis will lead to other conversations about other aspects of people's health that might not be addressed you know, through a dedicated sexual health service, for instance.
Yeah.
That's what makes the difference.
I think another thing that's quite important about a GLBTI-friendly clinic when it comes to sexual health issues is the clinicians within that clinic are more likely to be aware of any particular outbreaks around, say, in particular syphilis.
Exactly.
Among particular areas of the community, Shigella, hepatitis A or B.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you go to your run-of-the-mill GP, who might not have that level of contact with community issues, I guess, you may run the risk of not getting the testing that you need.
Absolutely. And that, as I said, that is, you know, regular testing does allow people exposure to what's actually happening out in the community in terms of sexually transmitted infections. And, you know, untreated STIs leave people at a greater risk of acquiring HIV. Mm. So we actually use SMS recalls now to alert people, to remind people to get tested again.
Oh, okay. Mm.
If, as long as they consent to that, of
yes.
course.
Yes, yep.
Well, you're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we've been chatting with Simon from the Centre Clinic, the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. But on the phone tonight, we have another guest. It's a little bit of a new sort of thing with us, two guests in one night, one by phone and one in the studio. We have Chris Barker, who is the manager of the counselling services at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. So, Chris, welcome. How are you going?
Hello, Adam. How are you?
Very good. Well, I guess the reason that we've got you on the show tonight is because next week is Mental Health Week. So what do we know about mental health issues facing the GLBTI community?
Well, specifically, members of the GLBT community can experience issues around discrimination and exclusion, issues around their sexual identity and maybe how they value or accept themselves or otherwise. They can experience what we refer to as internalised homophobia, relationship issues, and really how to navigate same-sex relationship where in a society that doesn't really value or celebrate or recognise them, and then all the associated effects on increasing the influence of that, increasing their levels of anxiety and depression and feelings of isolation.
Now, Chris, it's Jason here.
Hi, Jason. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you.
That's good.
I guess a question that comes to mind in the lead up to Mental Health Week is, how would someone know if something they're feeling or experiencing could be kind of a hint of a bigger mental health concern? And how are we meant to know when we should be seeking support?
Okay. Well, it can be kind of a range of things. If it might be that they might be having sleep difficulties. They might be having a loss of appetite. Maybe they don't want to leave the house. And they maybe have lots of unhelpful thoughts that help them prevent them doing the things that they normally would like. So it can be that sort of generalised. And maybe, I guess, just a feeling that things aren't quite right, and then maybe it's a good idea then to start, you know, asking the question, can I get some help from somewhere?
So, Chris, can you give a little bit of advice to the listener about what they should do if they have any of those particular mental health concerns?
Well, I suppose if they have any of those, you know, some of those examples, I mean, there are just a few that I can think of, but maybe it's important to, firstly, to share what's going on for them. And sometimes the first point of call can be a trusted friend or, you know, someone, even sometimes someone in their family. And rather than you feeling they have to keep it all to themselves, that's a really important thing. There's lots of services that can help them, but a good place sometimes to start can be a GP.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a GP can refer them to a community service that provides counselling or private practitioners that might provide counselling or therapy. Community health centres are also another place that can help provide some options. You know, sometimes they can go to a local community health centre. And then for some people who are comfortable with computers, Google can help as well, and maybe sometimes typing in the area you live and counselling, and that'll come up with a range of options.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the phone services like the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard and Lifeline, which offers a 24-hour counselling if people are feeling, you know, they need to talk to someone, you know, if out of business hours.
So it's really kind of about starting conversations.
That's right.
And I think, Chris, you raise a really good point in terms of external services that, such as like the Ganley Spin Switchboard and Lifeline, whereas sometimes you might not want to or you might have that fear of rejection about speaking up about something that's going on in your life. And and that phone conversation gives you that little bit of anonymity, so you can feel a little bit more free to discuss what is going on without fear of judgment. Because obviously when you're looking someone in the eyes and having a conversation about something that can be quite traumatic and quite personal...
Yeah.
And quite unsettling, that there is that fear of rejection. So I think making a phone call could be a good start, but I think there's other processes that you named that I think are absolutely fantastic.
Oh, great. Yeah, that can be good, really good start. Yeah, the switchboard's fantastic, and likewise Lifeline, they're all trained counsellors, so they're a good point of call to begin with too.
I think just tying it up to the discussion that we're having with you, Simon, earlier, it's about finding services that are friendly to the needs of our particular needs in the community, where we feel that we have that trust to be able to identify and speak openly and comfortably about those things.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly.
And once again, sorry, just to... Hi, Chris. It's Simon.
Hey, Simon. How are you?
Yeah, really good, thanks.
That's good.
Just to spruik the Centre Clinic again, you know, often it is your GP is the first... For a lot of people, is the first place that people will go to seek help. And at the Centre Clinic, we do have a data bank of GLBTI-friendly psychologists, psychiatrists, counsellors. We often refer people to the VAC's own counselling service. And often, you know, there isn't a need for any sort of therapeutic intervention other than a chat with a GP. Sometimes that can just be enough to reassure you that what's going on is normal. Because sometimes it is. And if it's not, then therapy is not the only option. Sometimes you can head straight for medication but that's something you negotiate with your GP. I would encourage anybody who is worried about their mental health or who has friends who are worried about their mental health to come to the Centre Clinic if that's something that they feel they have the courage to do.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Simon. Chris, you happy to stick around for a little bit more of a chat?
Sure, I love listening to this station. It's fantastic.
Well, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're listening to Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was Lily Allen with Everyone's At It. And if you've just joined us, we are chatting to Simon Powell and Chris Barker from the Centre Clinic and Counselling Services of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Chris, are you there with us?
Yeah, I'm still listening. I like that song. That was good.
Excellent. A little bit of Lily Allen for everyone. Now, before the break, we were talking about Mental Health Week kicking off this coming Sunday and about some of the kind of the cues or symptoms that people might kind of notice and how they might start approaching you know, either clinicians, counselors, or even friends for support. Now, can you maybe share with the listener a little bit about what the process is like to access support from the counselling services program at the Victorian AIDS Council specifically?
Okay, specifically, so generally they would ring and ask, or they would ring reception, and they would be put through to a duty worker. Mm-hmm. And generally the duty worker would ask them some questions around, some, you know, gentle questions around why they're ringing and why they would be ringing now, and just try and work out whether we're the best service for them at the time. And if not, what we'll do is try and ask some other questions around, you know, and find out what might be the most appropriate service for them, you know, in alternative to us.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, coming to Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, they need to either be a member of the GLBT community or be living with HIV. So we need to sort of ascertain that first, and then we find out what the best way is that we can help them. Then we ask them to come in for a first meeting, and then initial meeting, and then we ask them some more questions, and then we work out what the best sort of council we can allocate and what time and all those sorts of things, and even what venue, because we can provide counselling at South Yarra, South Bank and Footscray.
Hmm. Fantastic. Well, obviously there's the range of, I guess, options available for people who might be experiencing some sort of mental health issues or even just concerned about a range of different topics. So I guess the two main things that I think people should really take home from the conversation is that to have a very clear and open communication and level of trust with your GP to be able to initiate that conversation, or if you feel more so inclined to, I guess, get in contact with a counselling service or external or internal to VAC, just to have a bit of a chat and a discussion about what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for joining us this evening, Chris and Simon. Thank you to you as well.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
If anyone is interested in finding out more about the Centre Clinic or the Counselling Services program, you can go to vicaids.asn.au, and that link will be on facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Thank you once again. Have a lovely evening. We'll be back shortly, but we've got some Pet Shop Boys for Simon.
Thank you.
Have a great night, Chris.
Thank you. Bye.
Now, Simon, this was your special request. Can you tell us what the track is?
The track is My October Symphony by the Pet Shop Boys.
Well, stay tuned for that. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was My October Symphony by the Pet Shop Boys. It is that time of the show where we like to talk about a few events, websites, some research studies that are looking...
Where we change tracks, one might say.
Well, why don't you change that track, Adam? Let's get straight into it.
Okay, fair enough. Well, the first thing, I guess, that we should probably mention is that World AIDS Day is coming up.
Very quickly,
December 1st. And so in, I guess, a ploy to sort of get a little bit more momentum happening around World AIDS Day or going on a different track, there's actually a Facebook page for World AIDS Day where you can get all the latest news and information, things that are coming up, stuff to do with fundraising, if you want to get involved or how you can be involved. So if you are interested, check out the World AIDS Day Facebook page, which is facebook.com/WAD Victoria.
That's right, WAD, World AIDS Day, Victoria. And a couple of weeks ago, we were joined by Dr. Grant O'Sullivan and Carolyn Simmons from Victoria Uni talking all about this study, and it's the Equal Pay Survey, which is a survey about... it's for youth aged between 14 and 23, and it's really looking about... looking for people to share their experiences in sport and homophobia. And it's a great opportunity for people to win an iPad as well.
An iPad 2,
yes. So if you want to find out more about that, just go to facebook.com/equalplay. But Adam, it's that time of the show where we've got to wrap things up.
We have to change tracks again.
We're just going to press stop, really.
But yes, I know. Surprisingly, it always seems to fly by. I mean, I always think to every Thursday, oh, God, I've got Jason again.
Feelings mutual. But of course, coming up next, there is more fantastic Joy 94.9 programming, and Hide and Seek with Dean and Andrew is up next. Anyone you'd like to say hello to?
I'll say hi to my mum. Always say hi to my mum. She never listens, but hi, mum.
That's all right. I'll say hi to Gary.
Does Gary not listen?
But that's okay. And of course, if you wanted to find out more about either the Centre Clinic or counseling services in the lead out, in preparation for Mental Health Week, which is next week, you can go to vicaids.asn.au. Well, that's it. We'll be back next week. Tex will be back, which is very exciting. Yes, and that's exciting for everyone. but Tex will be back, and we'll be chatting to the Gawler Foundation. So stay tuned next Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Very exciting.
Very exciting.
All right. Have a great night.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.